Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us. Today we're taking some time to talk about spiritual bypassing. And you may or may not have heard of those two words together. I feel like this showed up right around the end of the last century here. So sometime in the 90s, as best I can tell. And this guy, John Wellwood, who wrote the book Toward a Psychology of Awakening, he defined spiritual bypassing as using spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep personal, emotional, unfinished business, to shore up a shaky sense of self, or to belittle basic needs, feelings, and developmental tasks, all in this name of enlightenment. So that's a big technical definition, but I would love to open it up so we can keep unpacking it, because I feel like you can hear about this topic and still walk away not being quite sure. So how would you guys define spiritual bypassing?
I think building on what you just said, that definition, some ways that I see this showing up is maybe taking every negative experience that happens in our lives and God has a reason for this or a purpose. And so not allowing ourselves to actually deal with maybe the trauma or what's been experienced, but brushing over it with these sort of trite stings. Maybe we're avoiding negative emotions or uncomfortable emotions because that would contradict our faith stance. And so rather than passing through and allowing those emotions to pass through us, we completely avoid them. And I think this can sometimes lead to this unrealistic idealism that our faith is supposed to produce. Like, we do the right things in our faith and our prayer lives and our practices, then this produces this beautiful, utopian, glorious, everything is a wonderful stance, which does not match reality for people. And I think can just completely shake people to the core if that's our understanding. And so I would just build off of it with some of those things that I notice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Looking at some of the different aspects of spiritual bypassing, something that comes to me is maybe some of the causes of spiritual bypassing, like avoidance. And I know avoidance is probably one of the major identifiers of bypassing. There's also just toxic positivity, individualistic culture. I alone am responsible for my destiny. And I think the one that stands out to me the most is the whole avoidance piece, because I think one thing that happens if we do not deal with any type of pain that is going on in our lives, like a famous saying is, if you do not process your pain, then you transmitting your pain onto others. So I think that's one of the major things that I see with this whole spiritual bypassing is the avoidance. If you don't deal with your pain, you just end up transmitting it to other people.
Yeah, that's a really helpful way to look at it. And I think it's so interesting, even as we're beginning to talk, and I think like immediately my desire for loving kindness and compassion towards oneself comes out, right? Because we walk into our spiritual experiences oftentimes with really open hearts, and then these weird things are happening and we don't know what to do with it. So you had mentioned avoidance, and I can relate to this notion of, oh, I don't want to really bring it up because I don't want to get into that conversation, that notion of sweeping it under the rug, just let time take care of it. In fact, I've had people say that to me before, oh, let's just let time take care of it. It doesn't, right? It just feels like this little festery thing under the surface, or that notion of that toxic positivity notion that we've talked about in other podcasts as well, but God's got it. It's going to be fine. Those kind of platitudes is what they are, that, yeah, we're not really acknowledging what's in there and what we're afraid of and having that conversation, those kinds of things.
And returning back to that Wellwood definition, where he talks about belittling basic needs and feelings and developmental tasks. And I think that shows up all the time, right? Where, again, our spiritual side of things, right? As opposed to our human side of things, versus that we're an integrated being. We are humans. We are spiritual beings having a human experience is a famous quote as well. And so what does it mean that I do have these needs? And that is part of my spirituality, acknowledging these needs, acknowledging that I'm tired, hungry, bored, unmotivated, whatever it is, whether it's an emotional, a physical need. And rather than feeling, no, you can't name that because that's selfish or self-centered. So even some of those basic needs that we have and just acknowledging, yes, this is where I'm at right now. And I don't want to bypass this to get to some other great spiritual space that I need to be in, but just acknowledging this, these are my limits right now. And I can be okay with that. What's the invitation here? What does it look for me to pass through rather than bypass, to pass through some of these things that are uncomfortable? And again, I think even using the term positive and negative, we've talked about that in other podcasts where I think there's uncomfortable emotions. I don't know that it's necessarily positive or negative. When we have uncomfortable emotions, I think it's easy to say, I don't want these. And so whatever we do to avoid that, but if we acknowledge, okay, this is coming up for a reason, what is this pointing to that needs some attention? In the same way, if my head hurts, then there's something there of like, maybe I'm dehydrated. Maybe, you know, I didn't sleep well enough last night or something that's triggering that headache that I can pay attention to remedy. I just really appreciate that aspect of his definition.
Yeah, I do as well. Paying attention to like your basic needs. And I love the term that he uses, unfinished business, right? Things that arise within us. I think something that comes to mind for me, like this whole notion of burying your head in the sand or letting time pass, time will heal all wounds type of an analogy. We were talking about the discovery of the light bulb and how it's changed everything. You know, now, instead of having light in the day for working, we can extend our work well into the evening because of this invention, the light bulb. And I think this notion of we just keep working, if we just keep doing more stuff, we'll achieve more and we won't have to deal with some of those uncomfortable emotions or feelings or problems that are arising. And again, I think if we don't deal with the things that our soul is speaking to us about, whether it's in our dreams or somebody points something out to us, if we don't deal with these small little things, again, they're going to come out sideways, whether it's in the relationships with those that we love or even perfect strangers. I think they have a way of revealing, hey, you're going to have to deal with this. And I just think that's the task, right? Paying attention to what's being revealed. And I think spiritual bypassing is the opposite of paying attention to what's being revealed.
These are all such good observations. And we're talking a lot about that other side. It reminds me of Mariana Kaplan is her name. She wrote a book, Eyes Wide Open. And she talks about this a lot. She says, people move toward the light while being unwilling to descend into the dark, which encapsulates all that we're talking about. And I've seen it. I feel like I'm getting better and better at it all the time. These things are always a journey, but even not too long ago, I was getting a lot of asks. And the thing is, we want people to see us in a positive light. We want to see others in a positive light. And so we're always putting our best foot forward. And I think in my world, the can-do spirit is very strong with me, but I was getting all of these asks and I felt like it's impossible for me to go forward and say yes to all these things. It's just not going to work. And so I sent this email just revealing reality. Here is my truth. I can't do all these things and I want to, but I don't want you to think badly of me. And I want our relationship to continue. This was hard for me. This is not me 15 years ago. And they were so gracious, but it was a big step to go out and say, I really want to, but I just don't think that I can. And I don't want that to affect our relationship. So descending into the dark, you know?
I think looking at some of the impacts that spiritual bypassing can have in our life, just naming a few, control problems. I think wanting to control everything. And one of my favorite sayings is, you're not living your life or controlling your life. Your life is being done to you. And I think having that awareness of we're a part of the cosmos, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And the notion of trying to control every detail of your life, whenever you think about how vast this universe is, and we think about all the other people, we just can't control everything. And I think some of the other blind allegiance emotional confusion, avoiding responsibility. That's a big one that I've seen. Just, I don't have personal responsibility for the things that are happening around me because of this, the spiritual bypassing. And so, yeah, I just wanted to name a few impacts that it can have on our lives.
And I think as we consider how contemplative practices can help with this, what does it look to actually pass through and to engage? And so what you were just mentioning, Chris, about, for an example, emotional confusion. I think a lot of times when these dark, murky places are what's before us in our spiritual landscape and our journey in life, a lot of times there are emotional confusing moments that we have. And so sometimes practices such as personal reflection, journaling, but also, and we talk often about this on the podcast, seeing a spiritual guide, a spiritual director, having someone neutral that's looking into your situation without the emotions and can just listen with a very generous heart and spirit can really help us to sort out those emotional confusing moments. Having trusted friends, having a therapist, having those opportunities where we can name aloud. I think sometimes too, just naming, simply naming and giving voice to what it is that we're experiencing. There's something very powerful about that. And it seems quite simple, but somehow just naming, I am feeling jealous right now, or I am feeling this huge sense of fear that is out of character for me, or it's coming seemingly out of nowhere. And then when we're able to sit with that, even within ourselves or bringing that to a trusted other, there's again, just power in the light, right? Because Christina, you're talking about the dark, murky places. Somehow when there's a flashlight on that, it's, oh, we can see way differently than it feels so dark and murky to us. But when the light is on it, we're just able to see different angles and able to work through that in a way that feels less overwhelming.
Yeah, even as Chris was talking about the control aspects, immediately what came to mind a little bit was how we pray sometimes. And so we can use prayer to be like, this has to happen, this has to change. So we're using prayer to try to control the situation, right? That's just how it is. And to approach prayer in this way where I don't have to try to force an outcome. And I think, hallelujah, that is there if that's the only thing that will soothe us in the moment, is just to be able to pray that way, but also to have this opportunity to sit and acknowledge the emotion. I feel some kind of a way. I feel helpless. And to be able to have space for that to be our reality, not just always, it's there to fix it. It's there to get the Band-Aid. It's there. And so why am I praying? What do I hope to accomplish with this prayer? What good can come, right? And it is still good. It just may not be the good that we maybe set out initially for. Who knows?
I really like what you're saying, right? Because prayer isn't necessarily, I do this and then this happens because of that. I think oftentimes prayer can be that place of personal understanding, seeing things in a fresh light, healing moments. And so I really appreciate that you're naming prayer isn't necessarily this control mechanism, although I'm sure we've all been guilty of that at some point in our lives, but rather leaning into that space and letting the prayers wash over us and to acknowledge, I feel pretty desperate right now, or it feels hopeless. And those glimmers that prayer can offer us of just maybe a sense of peace or whatnot. So I appreciate that, Christina.
And I've really appreciated the fact that there are things that I can do. We have personal responsibility, or we have autonomy. There are tools that can help us go through the circumstances. And a lot of times, the things that we try, the spiritual practices that we have in our tool belt, the things that we try, they're not working for us in a certain season of our life. I love being able to have the capacity to try new things and to engage with the divine in a new way. That's what it's pointing to. It's okay, there's a lack of connection. How do I make adjustment to feel connected again to myself, to the world around me, to other, to God? You know, I think I having personal responsibility, but again, if it leads to control, that's a big problem.
Yeah. And I think this is true in all those spiritual practices, right? I remember being deeply disappointed when having a breath practice couldn't stop anxiety from happening to me. That wasn't the purpose of having a breath practice. And I had to work through that. And I had to find a more authentic reason to do a breath practice for me. And it did come over time. It did take a little bit of searching and persistence and like being curious and coming back again. But it did, and I'm sure it will change again. So that's just how these things go. Thank you so much for diving into this conversation about spiritual bypassing. Certainly, some of the books that we've mentioned could be ways to dive in deeper. If you have more questions, we can also put a link in the show notes to an article about it if you want to learn more. And now is the time in our podcast where we take a moment to talk about what we are into. What are we into today?
I am into jarred jalapeno slices, and I've never really been a jalapeno fan. Chris loves different hot sauces and that's his deal. But recently I was at someone's house and I think they had chili with jalapenos. And then we hosted a party and had a nacho bar and somebody brought two different jarred jalapenos. And I was like, this is amazing. I love these. And so I am all about now trying to find dishes where I can use my jarred jalapenos. So that is what I am into this week.
Nice. I get to be into jalapenos with you, which is awesome. I am into the tooth fairy. We have a child who just lost his two front teeth. And it's just so delightful to watch my son place his tooth on the mantle and just the expectation that he has for what's going to come the next day. And the scrounging that happens with parents to try to come up with the revenue needed to to put on the mantle. But just seeing just the delight on his face, I've captured it with a couple of videos. And I'm so glad that I was able to be there with my phone, because it's going to be a blessing to see just the delight that a young one has for seeing what the tooth fairy brings them for many, many years to come. So tooth fairy is what I'm into.
That is a goosebump worthy story. Thank you. Let's see. I am into these LED lights that they activate in water. So you can float them in a vase. And I have this kind of fear that I'll forget about candles and I'll burn the place down. And so this allows me to get the glow and the warmth without that fear. Like, I don't have that in the back of my mind. And I'm just so amazed. It hits the water, they light up, and then you take it out of the water. And in theory, it stops being lit up. But sometimes I have to dry the contact. So I'm totally cool with that. I will dry the contact. And then I don't have to, sometimes with some of them, there's this button and it's just so much work. This is not that. There's not a lot of work involved. So I'm super into these floating LED. Thank you everyone for being with us, and we'll look forward to being with you again soon.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.